Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. The American criminal justice system is missing in action. The criminalization of the United States citizen by the injustice system is now one of America's largest industrials. Prison has become privatized and inmates compromised. Cheap labor for the big corporation. Apple computers, you name it, and the defense industrial among many others. The United States of America not only has the highest percentage of its people in prison, it has the highest absolute number in the whole wide world. America has more people in prison than China. 2 billion people. More than Russia. This country is a fraud. It's been a fraud for a long time. It's unfortunate that the way things turn out. I can't believe it how we allow these people to get away with this thing. It's more of us than them. It's more of us than them. Sometimes you have to make the sacrifice for the next generation. Let me tell you a quick story. And then I'll get to my first guest. Here in Barron County, Michigan, there's a young man, a white man, by the name of Gregory Frank, drug dealer, was supplying drugs to the black community. Got busted. The only reason he got busted, he dropped the drugs out of his car in front of the police. And they got him. Didn't go to prison for that. Didn't go to jail. Nothing. Because he knew the Barron County administrator who actually runs the county. He runs an elected official. He runs everything over there. And this so happened to be his friend. Let me go on and talk about this guy. He was running a scheme. A real one. Well, he would go to Lowe's, have a group of people go to Lowe's and steal things. Then he'd take them back to Lowe's, give him a merchandise car. Well, he did this for 3-4 years. He accumulated over $90,000 in gift cards. But by him being white, Lowe's never figured out that this guy was doing anything wrong. The way he got busted, he tried to get cute. Items 5-6 times. And that's how they busted him. They saw him on video after that. They saw how he was operating. Habitual offender. The judge said he's a good guy. He just made a mistake. Now, he's calling a drug dealer. A person who's supplying drugs all through our community, a good guy. He must have had at least 100 counts of fraud when he went to court. They gave him 6 months under house arrest. Only in America. Only because he's white. Now let me tell you about a 15-year-old kid. 15. They accused him of burglary. They gave him 5 years in prison. Can you believe this? 5 years in prison. A 15-year-old kid. A grown man that's slinging drugs. Had about 100 counts of fraud. Just 6 months. And he allowed to do that. On terror. Only in America. And the reason why they get away with this stuff does not affect us. If it does not affect us, we have nothing to say. It ain't me, it's him. Yeah, that's black people. This is how we've been doing. And this is why we're in this position today. It is no accident that we're in this position today. We don't care enough about each other. We used to be such loving people, caring people. You can't even run an organization without someone stepping in and saying how much they don't like somebody. Never heard of this before, how people act today. That's why you can't get a movement going. People are sitting back talking about how much they don't like somebody. See, one thing they don't realize, it's not important whether you like somebody. All you have to understand that you're fighting the same enemy. And believe me, we're fighting the enemy. But unfortunately, we got too many people not fighting. This guy, this system, this establishment is truly the enemy. Failing our children. We're failing the future, which is our children. We refuse to step up to the plate and get out here and do what needs to be done. What amazed me more than anything else is how people give law enforcement a free pass. They're shooting up people left and right. They said, now when they pull you over, put your hand on the steering wheel. Why would you have to put your hand on the steering wheel? Why? Why would you have to put your hand on the steering wheel? He comes out. He got his gun drawn because you're a black person. That's right. He have his gun drawn because you're black. And here in Barron County, Michigan, they are sexually harassing women. But here's the thing. I'm not going to say this is a good thing. But these are white women that the Barron County Sheriff Department are molesting now. And not one of them have went to jail. 50 women. And not one goes to jail. See, the way you can stay out of jail here in Barron County, the number one thing, you have to be a butt kisser if you're black. And believe me, we got a lot of butt kissers around here. We got these preachers. I don't even see how these people could go to these people's church. I don't see it. I don't see it. Child molesters, rapists, having sex all in the church, nobody want to say nothing about it. Don't put no mouth on that preacher, on God's man. That is not God's man. That's the devil's man. That's who that is. And we have to learn. If you're not with us, that means you're against us. And we have to learn not to shoot until we see the white of their eyes. That's how you deal with that. Because there's nothing more important than that. We must continue to stand firm. And we must continue to stand up for our brother and our sister. We must take a stand and make sure that we protect our women and children at all costs. And there's going to be some casualties. One in particular. Larry Gordon. I'm going to have a Larry Gordon day. He's the guy who said that he would never, ever go to trial in Barron County. Never. And he tried to shoot his way out of Barron County Courthouse. It was a suicide mission. People know that there's a problem inside that courthouse. All them people, all them judges, Judge Wiley, Judge Lasada, Judge Carter, Judge Schofield, and Judge Sterling Sherrod. They're all with the white supremacists. All of them. They're white supremacists. And then you have Michael Sempe. He's the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. But we say nothing. But listen, that's enough of me talking today. Let me bring in my good friend, Marcina from Detroit. Marcina, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. How you doing, Reverend Pinkney, this evening?
I'm doing great, girl. I mean, I'm having the time of my life. I tell you,
I heard
rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, you know, and I'm not letting these people get away with none of this stuff. You know, they're definitely going to be held accountable by me. But anyway, it's enough about me. Let's talk about you. You know, you had quite a night last night. Is that correct?
I certainly did. And it was a special night for the people in the state of Michigan. This is the annual Christmas-type event, holiday event called Noel Night, the 45th anniversary. And I've always attended the event that actually in Midtown area of Detroit, where there's the Detroit Institute of Arts and the Historical Museum and other places as well that involve hundreds of participants, Afro-American Museum, and it's really a lot of fun. I decided to not really be involved as a visitor in Midtown area. I decided to basically be a participant. And the last 3 years, I wanted to address the issues that's going on, that's plaguing in the state of Michigan and Detroit and across this country, disturbing trend of the police terrorism. People are losing their homes, being evicted in the city of Detroit. A lot of people who don't make adequate wages and fighting for $15 instead of making $2.50 at a restaurant an hour. So it's a lot of causes, environmental justice. So I thought in terms of let's meet in front of Detroit Institute of Arts 3 years ago, and let's sing social justice carols, not the Christmas carols, but social justice carols that basically calling out for various social justice organizations, people in like-minded, other activists as well, concerned citizens to come together, join us. And it's not, it wasn't a general demonstration or a rally. We had our signs with various subjects like Stop the Foreclosure, about police terrorism. So we had a number of people who came out. Some people had came out from Ann Arbor. I really appreciate that. But I was very disturbed when you about people of the organization who had something maybe less than a mile away that did not come to join me in this fight for humanity. They had their own thing with a similar theme as mine. I'm not saying anyone copied off of me because it's out there. You know, this is what I do. But let's join together. And I brought it to the attention at a meeting, People's Water Board, whatever you call it. I had went to their meeting, and I suggested that we come together as one. Well, that did not happen. But I thank the people who showed up. It was a good day, no snow. It was not a cold day. We set up. I had my camera doing some videos. Lo and behold, maybe an hour or so later, here comes the security from the Detroit Institute of Arts and told us we had to move and that we weren't representing Detroit Institute of Arts. We were in front of the museum, and we were getting a lot of attention for the ongoings that were walking back and forth, enjoying the festivities in Midtown. And so, nevertheless, we were being singled out, and he wanted us to move on the sidewalk. We were very close to the sidewalk. So I complied, and he said we didn't move our signs. We were going to be arrested by the police. I'm like, wait a minute. We have not committed a crime. So I'm taking what he said, that it's a crime if we're peaceful. We're not demonstrating, as he called demonstrators. We were singing social justice carols in a peaceful manner, not disruptive, not shooting at anybody. So anyway, the police were coming Some were in plain clothes. A few of them came in horses. I'm really getting a lot of attention now. And so, and then this other police officer was sitting in his police vehicle, SUV, in front of the DIA all this time and never approached me until the gentleman came out from the DIA. He was very confrontational. And I was very upset, but I kept calm. They were taking pictures of the signs. I mean, stop the foreclosure sign, really? So we were a threat. And so, nevertheless, we continued to sing our carols. They didn't like about the police terrorism signs that someone had put on, or that we actually just had it on a little tape on some brick little area that was in the front of the DIA. No disturbance whatsoever. I told the gentleman that worked for DIA and security, I told him I paid taxes to keep DIA. We paid taxes, three counties, Macomb, Oakland, and Wayne, because DIA, Detroit Institute of Arts, back in 2012, was thought to be shut down, threatened to sell their pictures that's in the museum to keep it afloat. So they had to turn to not just private donors, but people like myself and other citizens as well paying taxes. How dare him tell me to get to the curb? And so what the trend is now, that the people that's protesters, demonstrators, or whatever you want to call it, we are being threatened to go to jail with felonies and misdemeanors. I mean, this was uncalled for because it was neither one of those. You know, I mean, since when a singing has become a crime? So what is going on when it comes down to you because somebody has a specific sign that you don't like? We were representing DIA, and I don't know how he made this comparison whatsoever. But lo and behold, after things calmed down somewhat, we were being watched. They were walking back and forth in front of us. You know, there were different people coming through that were supporters. And, I guess they didn't know what was going on. But, yes, we did get a lot of attention. And one of the police officers, he wanted to start some mess all over again. And he was actually sitting there before. No, it said not said anything. He wants to start over. You got a couple more signs. You got to move blah 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 this. And I said, you know what? You want to keep us silent. I told the police officer that you want to keep us silent, but told that thousands of black people have been killed every year across this country by the hands of the police, and we're not going to be silent. We represent peace and justice here this evening. And I didn't appreciate you all coming and attacking us, you know. So this what was going on. And so I walked away. All of a sudden, a lot of people came for the signs. They were interested, and they liked it overall. And so that's when the police started moving away. Lo and behold, and I can say around about 7:30 p.m., there were police everywhere in their vehicles going up and down the streets. What were used to be shut down for this event, this Noel night? Because of the queue line that costs over $400 million, and it probably goes about, I don't think, more than 3 miles up and down Woodward, they could not shut down Woodward like they normally did. The festivities were right in the middle of the streets, and people went across the street from the historical museum to the library to the DIA and other places as well, and not fear of getting run over. But the queue line runs up and down Woodward on this little wire thing or whatever. I'm not impressed. And so it just took the whole, atmosphere that was really, you know, a holiday spirit type thing. It just was really, to me, not like it used to be, and particularly when I was being attacked. I found out later a couple people got shot right near the DIA. I didn't find out to wee hours in the morning, this morning, because I was so exhausted from putting this together. It was a lot of hard work, and I thank some of the supporters who that helped me. So I was exhausted. I woke up and see this stuff on social media about, are you okay, and all this other stuff. But they, you know, because they said it was in front of DIA, it was not in the front part, but it was in the proximity, like in the side or whatever. There were some young people who got into some kind of altercation, and that's all information that I know. But my point is, what a contrast. The police surrounding us, you know, they were surrounding us in front of the DIA, but not focusing on the safety of the people that were that came to the Noel night. There were thousands of people. The traffic was so bad in various areas. The traffic was so bad in various areas surrounding the DIA. It took one of my friends who helped me, Lillian. She took her 30 minutes to less than a mile to come to where we were in front of the DIA to help me put my stuff in her vehicle. So it was just that, so my, you know, it's to them, the police feel that we are a threat because we are fighting for justice and equality. We got environment injustice with the taint of the water, lead poisoning. We got the oil and refineries, Marathon in southwest Detroit, majority of black people living there. They're killing people, slow deaths with cancer in their bodies from the oil refineries. This is what we have. Our water and our food is being poisoned, and they slowly are exterminating us. And we're not supposed to say anything. And so those signs reflected what was what's going on, not just in Michigan, but it's going on across this country. And that's what we were out there for. With a mission accomplished, I did not know that we were going to have the audience of the police department and security. But they did finally back off when they saw that they were getting a little bit too much attention by the ongoing people that were walking around and noticing that, and they actually stopped to talk to us. So they cannot stop the movement. They cannot shut me down. I'm going to speak the truth, and I'm going to speak for my people, and I am not concerned about how they feel, but enough is enough. You're not going to keep trampling over us, killing us, disparity of justice in the courts, like Reverend Pinckney had said. We're going to continue the fight, and we're not going to be scared where our mouths are going to be quiet. And I thank everybody who came to Noel Night and supported us, and I thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for allowing me to take this opportunity to share some of the experiences that I had. Everything was positive until the police interceded. And this is what they do all the time. They don't want peace. They want calamity.
No.
They want violence. And so this is disturbing. And the people who don't think that they're not a part of this and they support the law enforcement, wait till they start coming to their door. Because the militarization is going on in our city, our state. We've had enough. Because it's going on across the country, and they are getting a pass to murder us. And any time you go out your house and you walk to the store or you drive your vehicle or you ride on a bike, you become a threat to the police officers. You mean to tell me when you drive your vehicle and you stop because the police pull you over that your life is in jeopardy because you reached out for your wallet to pull your license out and you get gunned down police by the police, but they won't shoot those white people? Majority of the time they will not shoot them Caucasians. And this is, so we got the infiltration of the KKK in the police department. It's systemic racism. I don't care if the black police officer, what color he is, it's systemic racism. I said, well, a black officer shot another black person. Trust me, it's systemic racism. I'm not trying to hear that. But nevertheless, we did our chants and our songs. I want to thank Martha Garrett. She's a poet and author. She wrote those, and they were right on point. And we put it on your blog, about the Noel Knight, thanks to Jackie Miller. And then I'm going to have some photos to be at a later date. At a later date, I'm going to have it posted on your blog. And I thank you so much for the opportunity to share this little story.
Absolutely.
I'm going to write it up because it's very, very disturbing to me, this trend where they're focusing on people speaking loud and clear, enough is enough.
Amen. And listen, say this too. Don't allow them to stop you, because that's what they try to do. Their job is to intimidate you in any way they can, because, you know, one of the things about black people, which is important, you see, we only talk when it comes to each other, you see. When it comes to each other, if I step on your toe, you ready to kill me. If I say something, maybe a slip of the tongue, you're ready to kill me. Every single day, that white man got his foot all up in our butt, and we're not saying a mumbling word. We're too scared to open our mouth and say what needs to be said. And we have to tell them enough is enough. I know that you that Noel Knight last year at this time. Did you get the police around y'all at that time last year?
It was, you know what? And I'm glad you brought that up. Like I told this wannabe cop guy from DIA, he's a black officer. He's from my DIA. This is not all you own it now. But the thing about it, we didn't have that problem before. Yes, security came out, but he looked and he went back in the DIA. It was no issue. The police, few of them, you know, looked at the signs the past, you know, years, and no one approached us at all. Why was this different, overzealous security and police officer, whatever it may be, the officer who was too lazy to walk the beat like his partner, he's sitting in his SUV. I don't know why he was already there. Yes, I posted on social media and maybe got the tip on that. But the thing is, if they was focusing on the people being safe, all these thousand people instead of watching us, they might have prevented those shootings that occurred last night.
Absolutely.
So how the papers written with police saying police, how's that being a threat?
No, they don't care nothing about no shooting. They care less about
right.
The only thing they want to do is upset you the way it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Marcina, I gotta go.
But
well,
thank
I
you
really
so much.
Appreciate you coming on and talking about Noel Knight so people can understand exactly what is going on in the world. We have to make them people either put up or shut up. And many times we allow them to do things that to us, we allow them to disrespect us. We the reason why we can't get justice in the court, because if it's not happening to you, you don't want to get involved. See, like the police is shooting people up. They don't, black people don't care about shooting somebody else. All they care about,
right,
as long as they don't get shot. And then when they get shot, they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. That's just the way it is. We have to stop fighting these people now before it happens. We have to set up a system that says we're not taking this crap from you. You know what I'm saying? And that's the attitude that we need to have. Until we get that attitude, we're going to continue spinning our wheels. But look, I got to let you go. And
thank
I really,
so
really, truly, truly appreciate you. You know, that was very, very educational. You let people know exactly what was going on. And I'm get a chance to talk to you soon. And we've been working down in Benton Harbor, doing some incredible work, trying to get everybody on the same page, get people doing things that they never done before. But that's just part of it. But I want to thank you so much. And, hey, continue to fight. Don't give up. I will talk to you very soon. You have a beautiful,
and I
beautiful
wanna say this
day.
Real quick. Yeah, you too.
Go ahead.
Oh, I want to say this here, Beanie. I'm having that my upcoming Freedom and Justice call, and we will discuss that further about what you mentioned about the disparity of sentencing, which periodically I did talk about that, but it's getting worse It's not being resolved. We're going to be talking about that and about what's going on with the police, continuation of police terrorism and attacking ordinary citizens. We haven't done anything wrong. Well, thank you so much for the time, and you have a good evening.
All right. Take care now. And now I got to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. My girl. My friend. The lady of the moment. There's none like her.
Woo! What you say?
Belinda Brown. Are you there?
Oh, Pastor Pinckney!
It's going down, Belinda Brown. It's going down.
It's going down. It's going down, Pastor Pinckney. Every time I turn around, it's going down.
Say it again. They don't hear you, though. They don't hear you. They got crying in their ears.
You know what? I want them to go get the two. You know, you told me this, Pastor Pinckney, and my grandmother always instilled it in me, too. She said the two most powerful things in the world is paper and pencil. It's everywhere
That's
you look.
It.
Okay? I want all the listeners to go get some paper and pencils because I'm excited, Pastor Pinckney. I got to let them know what's been happening down here in New Orleans. Woo! It's on and popping down here. It's on and popping down here, Pastor Pinckney. We've been in meetings all this weekend. I mean, since Thursday evening. You know, Danny Glover have graced us with his presence and his yes, it's a blessing, Pastor Pinckney. I'm telling you, a very powerful, inspirational speech. I mean, coming from this man that drip with wisdom on how to organize and mobilize, you know, the people that is going to get something done, Pastor Pinckney. Do you hear me? And I'm excited because I want everybody to know about the – write this down, Pastor Pinckney. It's the global reparation movement. It's taking place, Pastor Pinckney. Everybody needs to go sign up, and they need to go to the website. It's www.ibw21.org. That's O-R-G. That's IBW21.org. And the 800 number that they can call is 888-774-2921. That's 888-774-2921. Pastor Pinckney, I'm here to tell you I want everybody to go join up and support the reparation, the global reparation movement because, you know, I was listening to the callers. And everybody, you know, we complaining about how these people treating us and how they doing us and how we are being so blatantly disrespected. And we can't go looking for help from these people, Pastor Pinckney. We can't go looking for help in all the wrong places. They don't intend to do anything for us. And I'm here to tell you the reparation movement is on and popping. And what we're looking to do is identify all of our leaders across the country, grassroots leaders, you know, people that are in the trenches like you, Banco, Pastor Pinckney, that's moving and shaking and educating the people, you know, changing the behavior of people, getting people's minds transformed so that they can think differently about trying to get help from these people and know good and well. I'm going to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, I'm going to expose this here right now. Right now on the Pinckney the Pinckney Blog Talk Radio Show is that the people need to know. This is what the people need to know. Until we unite and come together as a people on a strong united front, we're not going to get respect from the police, from the system, from the banks, from none of them. We're not going to get any respect from them, Pastor Pinckney. Not even from the pastors. They're not even going to respect us, okay? until we unite and come together. And you know you've been preaching this, Pastor Pinkney, you've been singing it and jumping up and down from the rooftop, trying to get people to understand that we as a people, we have everything we need. We have all the resources. We are intelligent people. We know what to do. But we have missed it a mile when we trying to do everything by ourselves, me, my foe, and no more. What's in it for me? Give me mine. I want the credit for this, that, and the other. We got to stop that, Pastor Pinkney.
And you know, you're right on point.
Yes, this is what the reparation movement is all about, is us coming together, marrying our money together, Pastor Pinkney, boycotting across the nation. And we're going to identify and we're going to publicize it and let everybody know who we are. And we're not going to stop until we take what is rightfully ours. Did you hear me, though? I said, take it. We ain't waiting for nobody
That's
to give
right.
us nothing. We've been waiting for
That's
77
right.
100 years, running around in circles, begging, praying, crying and praying, asking them to do this. Oh, look what they doing. They can't do that. That ain't right. They killing us, shooting us down, sticking us in the hellhole jails. Pastor Pinkney, do you hear me? We're not crying anymore, people. Listen to me. This is going down, and it's going down right now even as I speak. It's called the Global Reparation Movement. We're going to take what's rightfully ours. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, go Google Expect Us Now out there and see what them people are doing. They just shut down over 1,000 and some Walmart stores. They shutting them down.
Hey, you know what?
Macy's stores going out of business. You see all the... I'm telling you, Pastor Pinkney, J.C. Penney's, all these little pop-up stores, they're going out of business. They're shutting them down because we're not going to spend a dime with them. We're not going to do, Pastor Pinkney, I don't want to hear nothing about what they got to say. Don't even tell me what they said. Oh, they said this. They said we can't. They said this. And they look what they, no, we ain't whining no more, Pastor Pinkney. We are not drinking the Kool-Aid. We don't want the sweet tea. We don't want the Coca-Cola. We don't want nothing they got. Okay? We don't even want to drink their water no more. We're going to purify and make our own water. Right here in the United States of America, people. And they're not going to touch us. But it's all about us together. And that's all I got to say about that, Pastor Pinkney. I'm so sorry. I'm going to tell you, I'm so fired up right now.
You know what?
I'm going to tell you, it's going down.
You said a mouthful, girl. You done said a mouthful because, you know, it's important that people understand. And like you said, I've been preaching this a long time about unity, coming together, standing up. And my thing is this, Belinda. We as black people, we're not going to stand up for another person. I mean, this is what we do with black people. We don't stand up for other people unless it's our family member, and that's what they've been, and that's how they've been able to suck us. They, you know, they're
right.
They have a game plan. They also you neutralize the preachers and the word. And don't put no mouth on no preacher on God's man. Well, that's not God's man. He's the devil. He's the devil's man. Once you sell your soul to him for this money,
like
you become the devil man. And this is what these preachers are doing. See, on Sunday morning is the time that we should be uniting the people. We should put our arms around people and tell them what is going on and just tell them the truth and stop preaching them all watered-down sermons that they've been preaching. You gotta start preaching the truth to these people. You got to tell them exactly what's going on, Belinda Brown. And I'm so happy that you was able to come on and tell us about your week, which was very, very good. And I'm always proud of you. You know, I know that any time that you're around, I know that you're gonna do something, and you're gonna keep this thing going because is crucial that people understand. See, I tell the people what's going on, but what they do with that information is on them. I'm not gonna lose no more sleep over these people, because one thing for sure, after you get your head cut off, the first thing come out of their mouth, somebody should have done something. Yeah, you should have done something. You the one should have done it, not somebody. And we got to teach these people, and until we keep telling them, it's going to continue this way. But Belinda, I tell you,
Danny Glover is going to give you a call, Pastor Pinckney. You know, he was excited to know, asked about you, that you all right, and I told him about the great things that you're doing, the work that you got your hands on right now, the new church and stuff there, the new building in Benton Harbor. And, so he's going to be reaching out and giving you a call. But, I got to say this. I want everybody to go and to that information I just gave them. Go to the website and download the preliminary reparation program and read this booklet to the entirety. It's a document to review, revise, and adoption as a platform to guide the struggle for reparations for the people of African descent in the U.S., in the United States of America. You know, people, if it ever been a time, we always have said that, when the people cry out, when there's a cry, when there's an outcry, even if you go back and study your Bible, God did not even deliver the people from Israel until he heard their cry. Well, I'm here to tell you there is a cry of mothers, in the blood that's been shed in the street, from our loved ones that are being shot down cold-blooded by the police. There is a cry of the mass incarceration that's taking place across this country, the homelessness, the joblessness, all of the things, all of the ills that we're facing. There is a cry. And you know what, Pastor Pinckney? I'm like this now. We're at the point we didn't march, we didn't rally, we didn't protest, and all of that is good. Don't get me wrong, okay? But it's time for us to recover now. It's time for us to recover all. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go get your Bible and read chapter 30. Well, read the whole book of 1 Samuel. When God told David to go and utterly destroy them and take everything, okay, and bring it back, okay, to the people.
Amen.
That's what
bring
it's
bringing on home.
And we don't want no peanuts. We don't
want
no peanuts. We don't want no pennies. We don't want no handouts. And that's known as coming with in bulk. And when I say bulk, I mean it's not enough that we, like you said, we won't have enough room to put it all.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
I tell you, Belinda, you are right there. And, I just wish I had a million people just like you. I wish that there was a million people, a million Belinda Browns who were willing to stand up against this corrupt system and fight back, And here's the bad part, it's going to be some casualties, you see. But we got to be ready mentally and move ourselves out the way and think about the future of our children, our women and children, because we got to stop building up our women where we men take our place on the throne. We can't take our place on the throne. We still down here calling our women bees and everything else and hoes and this system got them. They're paying them big money to call our women bees and holes and everything, and they think it's all right. It's not all right. It's not all right. So if you continue to call them bees and holes and all that kind of stuff, we're going to put you on their side. And when the fireworks begin, you better step out the way. But, Belinda, you got a minute to say whatever
you
want.
They're not
going to
last long, Pastor Pinckney, because ain't nobody going to put up with that no more. Ain't nobody going to tolerate that no more. See, times pass, we have you get what you tolerate. But we letting them know
we
ain't tolerating it no more, okay? And that mess is going to go away. you know, and you can go right along with it. Unless now you choose to get your mind transformed and get delivered, because right now, Pastor Pinckney, I got to tell you this. I know you got to let me go, but I got a powerful tool, and I'm waiting to come down there to Benton Harbor. It's called the Life Guide to America, and it literally transforms people's minds, the way they think about themselves, their family, their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids. It literally transforms their minds and it changes their behavior so that they can think differently. I mean, it get people delivered off of drugs and everything. Do you hear me, Pastor Pinckney? Because it's not that hard. You know, education is powerful.
Yes.
It's very powerful when you begin to educate and tell people the whole truth. The truth is what's going to make them free. And I'm going to tell you, we've been cheated. They didn't held back the truth. These lying pastors and preachers in these churches, like you said, they didn't kept the truth away from us for too long, Pastor Pinckney. And I'm here to tell you, we going to know the truth. And that's what we need.
Amen.
People like you, Pastor Pinckney, what you're doing. I'm so excited about what you're doing there in Benton Harbor, because I know I can see them people right now. They're coming out in droves. They're supporting you. They're excited about what you're doing. They so happy. They know that the deliverer has come. So my thing
Amen.
Is keep on doing what you're doing. And I'm down here. I'm working on this end, but I'm looking to write a big check one day. I'm here to tell you I want to do everything I can do within my power to help
Amen.
The Pinckney movement.
All right, my friend. Hey, I miss you, and you just stay focused.
Don't make me want to come back down there now.
Oh, yeah, it's going down. I tell you that right now. All right, I got to let you go. All right, girl.
All right now.
All right, that was my good friend Belinda Brown from Slidell, Louisiana. And I tell you, she's doing some magnificent work. I am so proud of her. But the war continues, and you have to be ready to fight. Don't sit on the sideline and wait till something happens to you. If you're sitting on the sideline waiting for something to happen to you, it's too late. But we got to move on. Let me bring in a good friend who's going to talk about Mr. Victor today. And see, those of you who are out there, I know you don't understand, because you're not in jail, you're not in prison, and you think it's okay for someone else to be, as long as you're not. But if somebody else is in prison, you're in prison yourself. All right, come in and talk to me today. Yes, I'm here. Go ahead. Hello?
A customer.
Hello?
No.
Hello? Mr. Victor.
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah,
I'm here. You're on the radio.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I'm just here to talk about what God has been doing for us, and to keep pushing them, and to tell about that we're not giving up on our mission, and to inform the people on what they need to do to support us. And the first starts with Amendment 28 that we're pushing. And the information is out there already for everybody to go. You can Google and look at it. Go to Google Angela A. Bell. She's a professor at Southern University. And she wrote articles on non-anonymous jury system in Louisiana and in Oregon. And they were asking to, on the amendment, on the site, amendment28site.wordpress.com, as a link to a petition. And we ask for all people to support and sign the petition. And also, there's a song that we're pushing out, inspirational song by my father called Favor. You can go on Google Play and download for just 99 cents. And that's just a little we asking for so much we can do. You know what I mean? So, that's it. I mean,
all right.
People, we said there's nothing new under the sun. So we said everything has been said before. So now it's only the time to do. And if you ain't doing, then what you talking for? So, yeah. That's basically it. So go to amendment28site.wordpress.com. Look at the amendment. Look at what we're trying to do, and the link to the petition, where you can sign and support. And there's the music out there, which you can support, called Favor. Just Google, go on Google Play or Spotify, type in Errol Victor Favor, and you can download and support that way. And the music is phenomenal. The music is great. It's not a handout. I'm not asking for a handout. The music is phenomenal. So, yeah.
All right. And here's something that you could start doing so you can learn more about the system. You could start court watching. What's that city? I know when I was in. Are you in Baton Rouge, or where are you at? In New Orleans or Baton Rouge? Hello? Hello? All right. Anyway, those of you, Mr. Victor is in
prison,
and he's going to be serving a life sentence unless the people take a stand and say no more. We have to help this man. It's him today and you tomorrow. You have to learn. Go and download his music. That would help him get this thing going and to spread the word about the injustice in Louisiana. That's why my friend Belinda Brown is there. She's working hard for equality. The injustice that exists in Louisiana is almost unthinkable. You know, and when it comes to the prison system, they're number one. And they have been this way for so long. But we have to make sure that we're doing what we need to do to help this man. We have to go out our way to find something to do. How much do it cost to download one song? 99 cents. That's it. Yeah, that's all it is. So we have to make sure that we're doing everything we need to do and make sure that things are happening correctly. We can do this. This is something that just needs to be done. We got to change our language. We got to change the way we act. We got to change the way we talk. We got to change and start thinking about the future. And are we prepared for the future today? I don't think so. And they know it. They got us fighting with each other every chance we get. Even organizations fight with each other. My good friend Marcina was on earlier today. They don't want to have nothing to do with her because she stands up for what's right, and that's wrong. How are you going to build if you're fighting with everybody every single day? It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. Your strength in numbers. You need the numbers. You need the numbers in order to make this thing happen. Because if I was in their position with all the power they have, why would I give you some of my power? If you can't take it, power from me, why would I give you some of my power? Do it make sense to you? And this is the way they think. This is the way they've been thinking for a long, long time. We have to make sure that we come together and fight together, stand together, because it's me today and you tomorrow. We have to make sure we're doing all the things that need to be done. There's no such thing as justice for black people, because they know we can't take it right now. We're so divided. We got fighting deacons. We got school teachers fighting school teachers. We got it all. We got it all. We got it all. until we do this, we're going to continue just like this. And I have to say this because we have to understand who our enemy is. Until we understand who our enemy is, we are never going to be able to defeat the guy because we don't know who our enemy is. This system itself is our enemy. The establishment, the 1%, and the next level, because they think they're protecting the 1% against you. We have to stand together. We have to fight together. We have to do what needs to be done. I tell you, living in Barron County, you would never believe it. You're living in a county that's ran by the white supremacists. Any time that you have a county, a group of county commissioners, practice racism, who openly claim that they are members of the Ku Klux Klan, they support Donald Trump. They support what he's doing. They agree that some of those white supremacists was good people. How are you gonna be a good people and you preaching hate? How do you be good and you preaching hate? You just can't preach hate and claim that you're a good person. But by them being in power, they're able to do these things, but we allow. When there's no penalty for doing what you do, they're going to continue doing what they do until we stepped up. There are 50 million black people living in this country. If we include the Mexicans, the Spanish community, we can control this thing. We have to do it with the ability, knowing that we can take this power from them. And this country can't win no guerrilla warfare. That's how you fight this country. Guerrilla style, just like the North Koreans did. They gave this country a butt whooping they'll never forget. And let me talk about the Vietnamese. Them Viet Cons, they still talking about that. Matter of fact, my brother was in that war. He said they put so much heat on them that it scared him to death. He said he never saw nothing like that before. He said them Viet Cons was everywhere. They had them trapped. Because this country can't fight a guerrilla warfare. The Afghanistanians now, they're whooping this country. That's how you beat this country. You beat this country by guerrilla warfare. You can't fight them, go chest to chest with these people. Just like when you talk about the sheriff department, what they're doing to the women inside the jail. You're never going to beat them because you're never going to get justice that way. You're never going to get justice. Unless they're concerned that you're able to take what you want. And I believe that. But listen, I want to thank my guest today, Belinda Brown, who I love dearly. And she gave us a tremendous insight. And I want people to know that she's right on point. She's right there. And we have to do what we have to do. And I tell you this, I will talk to you soon, very soon, and we will continue to fight this fight, and we're going to win. We are going to win. We are going to defeat these devils, because that's what they are. They're nothing but devils, and we know it. And we got some black devils, too. It ain't just white devils. We got some black ones, too. But we are going to win this battle. I'm guaranteeing that we are going to win. Let's stand together. Let's fight together. Let's be together. Don't make no difference who you like or who you don't like. When you're fighting a war, we're all in this together. And I just want to thank you so much for listening to me. And I have just ran time. Thank you so much. May God bless you. May God keep you. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same station.